A warm welcome to this week's edition of the Wellness Talk Podcast. I am George Batista, as always, your host and your wellness advocate. Wellness Talk is a show that goes over the latest in health, healing, and nutrition. Hope you guys are doing great. So, as I was preparing for this show, I was thinking about something that happened to me about 6 months ago. Now, I didn't mention it 6 months ago because it really wasn't relevant to the show, but I figured I'd talk about it today because it is a little bit relevant to what I'm talking about today. So I was driving along in my truck, and I got to an intersection, and I was about to make a left at this intersection. So I had my signal on, and of course, you know, most of the time when you're at an intersection, you're waiting for oncoming traffic to go by so you can make your left or your right or, you know, that type of thing. And as I'm waiting there, you know, I tend to look through my rearview mirror just to kind of see if there's any cars behind me or anybody waiting and that type of thing. It's just a normal habit that I have. And as I'm looking through my rearview mirror, I see a car barreling down behind me. And in my brain, I'm going, that guy's going way too fast for a guy that's going to pass me or stop behind me. It's one of those things, right? And as I'm watching this car, I'm realizing he's getting bigger and bigger and bigger into my rearview mirror. And then it comes to a point where you're going, okay, this guy's not going to stop. You realize it, right? And it's almost like slow motion. I'm going, yeah, I'm going to get hit here. So what do? I tense up because I realize there's nowhere I can go and I'm just going to get hit. And sure enough, I get rear-ended pretty good too. And luckily, you know, everybody was okay. He was okay. I was okay. And we pull over to the side and I get out of my truck and I look to the back of my truck and I, you know, kind of assess the damage. And it actually didn't look too bad. So I'm looking at it and I'm looking at his car, and his car was pretty wrecked. At least the front of the car was pretty wrecked. So the gentleman gets out of the car and I look at him and I realize this is a kid. He's probably 18, 19 at most. So he comes up to me and the first thing I tell him is, I said, did you not see me, you know, waiting to make my left? I had my signal on and everything. And he goes, dude, I'm sorry. He says, I just got off my overnight shift and I fell asleep. And I'm like, wow, this kid's driving and he falls asleep at the wheel. And of course, I'm the lucky recipient of this kid, you know, this kid falling asleep. And then I'm thinking to myself, wow, how many times does this happen? Right? People falling asleep, shift work, right? People, you know, getting into bad accidents. I mean, he could have gone into oncoming traffic and it would have gotten a lot worse for him. But, you know, luckily, again, everybody was okay. But it was just one of those things you think about of how many people fall asleep while they're driving, how many people don't get enough sleep in general, you know, how many accidents happen because of things like this. So, and the reason why I bring this up is because today we're going to talk about sleep and or sleep deprivation. Now, I've done shows in the past on sleep, but I always like to bring you guys the latest science on it. So we're going to talk about the latest information on sleep and or sleep deprivation. So the first article today is going to be from Wellness Resources. It's One Night of Sleep Deprivation Ages Your Brain. And people, one of the things, especially young people, think about, they say, well, if I don't get one night of sleep because I was partying all night, that type of thing, it's okay, I'll just make up for it later on. Is that really true? It's a question to think about, right? Well, we're going to address it in this article because that may not be the case. Something to think about. So that's the first article. Then we're going to talk about low-dose CBD and how, is it as effective as melatonin in improving sleep? And this is from the Journal of American Nutrition Association, brand new information on this. So they're doing research on CBD. Many of you probably know what CBD is. It comes from the cannabis sativa plant, and it's being studied. It's all the rage probably the last 10 years or so. It's being studied on its effects on the human body when it comes to anxiety, when it comes to sleep, when it comes to pain, all different types of things. We're going to address it. We're going to talk about how it affects sleep and how it compares to things like melatonin in helping you get a good night's sleep. Good information on this. Then, from the wellness company, we're going to talk about sleep and how it affects your immune system. And even, again, if you're missing just one night of sleep, how does that affect your immunity? We talked about that. I talked about that during COVID, right? Making sure you're getting enough sleep, especially during COVID, because you want to make sure that your immune system is in good shape to fight off whatever it is you're dealing with, right? We'll address it here. How important is it to get good sleep in terms of your immunity? And then, of course, I'm going to address some of the nutrition that you can use to get good sleep. And also, I'm going to address some things. I get a lot of questions on how to stay asleep. It's one thing to get, you know, to actually fall asleep. It's another thing to stay asleep. A lot of people are getting up in the middle of the night and they don't know why. And they want some tips on how to stay asleep or how to at least go back to sleep. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well. So, you know, anybody who's dealing with sleep issues, check it out. Check out this show because good information here. And of course, as always, we bring you the latest here. So make sure you go to georgebatista.com to check out all the articles that we go over. Make sure that you like, share, and subscribe. And of course, share this with as many people as you can. If you want to sign up for the newsletter, you can sign up right at the front of the website. And or if, also, if you want to support the show, there is a support the show button at the front of the website. Those of you who support the show on a regular basis, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's really appreciated. It goes right back into this show. And anything you guys can do to support this show, really appreciate it. And by the way, if you're listening on Apple, if you like the show, make sure you leave a good comment. Make sure you leave a good review. Helps to support the show, helps to bring the show up. And, you know, anything you can do to, you know, again, to spread the word of health, that's what we do on this show, right? We bring you this stuff every single week. So, again, it's much appreciated. All right, guys. So without further ado, let's get started on the articles for the week. First article is from Wellness Resources. It's One Night of Sleep Deprivation Ages Your Brain. Okay, so let's talk about why this is. First of all, we'll talk about your brain cleanup. Okay, so you have what's called glial cells in your brain. I've talked about them many times on this show. They're kind of the cleanup crew and the rejuvenation crew of your brain. They help not only with brain rejuvenation, brain repair, but they also help with cleanup. Now, they connect to something called the lymphatic system. Again, I've talked about that as well. The lymphatic system is what is kind of like your trash cleanup of your body, okay? Helps to take out the trash. So your glial cells kind of connected to the lymphatic system of your brain, and hence you have what's called a glymphatic system, okay? And think about this as the neuroimmune housekeeping cells of your brain. This is important because when you're sleeping, this goes into action to help clean out everything that tends to build up in your brain. Now, sleep deprivation affects how well that glymphatic system works. Now, when you lack even one night of sleep, trash builds up and your glymphatic system cannot do its job properly, okay? And, you know, think about it as when if you, let's say you don't do your dishes or you don't take out your trash, right? It's going to build up. It's going to start to smell. It's going to start to attract things. It's that type of thing. So it's very, very important that you make sure that your body is able to clean out properly. Now, the efficiency of the glymphatic system's cleanup process is influenced by circadian rhythms. Because remember, your body works on rhythm, right? Everything is rhythm, whether it's your hormone secretion, whether it's your, you know, when you eat, your leptin, your ghrelin, everything is a rhythm in your body. Your body works on timing and rhythms. Very important, okay? Your glymphatic system also decreases when you age, right? Just your body's aging process takes a toll on your glymphatics and how well it works. So you have to make sure that your glymphatic system is working properly. And one of the ways to do that, obviously, to make sure you get sleep even as you get older, okay? You want to remove the worn-out cells and the worn-out toxins and proteins. Now, let's talk about the studies. There was a 2018 clinical trial and evaluated healthy adults at baseline and then after one night of sleep deprivation. This is what they found. They found that one night of sleep deprivation actually affected a couple of areas of the brain, the hippocampus and the thalamus part of the brain. Now, these are the regions of the brain that actually affect your mood, they affect your memory, and they affect your cognitive function, okay? They found that the glymphatic part of the brain was actually compromised. In other words, there was a reduced clearance of metabolic waste out of those parts of the brain. So things were starting to back up, even just after one night, okay? That's something to think about. Now, there was a 2021 study that published in the journal Brain further confirmed impaired waste clearance throughout the brain after one night of sleep deprivation. Scientists used sophisticated tracer elements in MRI imaging to identify this change. It found that the catch-up sleep, and I use that in quotes, the catch-up sleep the following night did not compensate for the brain deprivation effects and impaired molecular cleanup. The results showed, and they're quoting from this study, that humans do not catch up on lost sleep. Think about that. So you do not catch up on lost sleep, even just from one night of sleep deprivation. This is why you have to make sure you do everything possible to get a good night's sleep each night, because now the studies are showing that you do not catch up. Stuff actually starts to build up even after one night. Interesting stuff, right? So this is totally different than what you're hearing. This is totally different than what people think, okay? Now let's talk about adolescence, okay? Because I have an adolescent at home who can sleep. She can sleep during the weekends, let me tell you. You know, I mean, I know a lot of, you know, 16, 17-year-olds sleep till 12, 1 o'clock, you know, in the afternoon. I never did that as a kid. I don't know why. I always felt that I was going to miss something during the day. So I think the latest I got up, I think was like 9 a.m. or something like that. But again, kids these days are a lot different. So research shows that sleep deprivation leaves children and adolescents with greater risk for negative changes in academics, social functioning, athletics, and athletics accidents and injuries. Okay. As a matter of fact, they found that cyclists, especially young cyclists, they had problems with their motivation to perform, their blood pressure was affected, and all this was done because of one night of sleep deprivation. So make sure that you tell your kids, if they are in athletics, okay, my daughter's in softball and basketball, and I tell them this all the time, if they're going to bed at 12 or 1 o'clock at night, they're not getting enough sleep, and they have to get up the next day to perform an athletic event, right, softball, basketball, whatever it is, make sure you tell them that this could affect your performance. They don't want a power drain while we're in the middle of the basketball court. So it's very, very important for them to get that sleep because it can affect their performance, and the studies show this. Now, also muscles and hormones. Sleep deprivation also affects your muscles and hormones. And there was a recent clinical trial. The researchers examined the effects of one night of sleep deprivation and one night of normal sleep. Several hormone profiles and markers of muscle health were measured. The results reveal that one night of sleep deprivation led to an 18% reduction in muscle protein synthesis, a 21% increase in cortisol levels, and a 24% decrease in testosterone levels. So those of you who are bodybuilders, right? Those of you who are in the gym constantly, let's say you're training for competition. Let's say you just want to make sure you're getting as good muscle gains as possible. Let's say you're just athletic, but you want to make sure that you have peak muscle performance for those athletic events. Sleep deprivation affected that. One night of sleep deprivation, again, 18% reduction in muscle protein synthesis. That's a huge percentage, okay? So again, those of you who are in those categories, make sure you are sleeping and getting enough sleep, because it's going to affect muscle and cortisol and testosterone levels. Good stuff here. All right, so some basics as far as nutrition to help you sleep. Of course, one of the places I get my supplements from is Wellness Resources. So obviously, on top of eating the good diet, on top of doing everything you possibly can, keeping hydrated and all that type of stuff, you want to make sure, if you need some extra help, check out some of Wellness Resources sleep supplements, or supplements that help, can support sleep anyway. So top choices would be Relax Mag and TriCal. Now, Relax Mag is a great one. I've used that many times as far as when I've had particularly let's say weeks where there was a lot of stress and anxiety going on in my life, where I knew that I was going to have compromised sleep, those types of things, especially when I know when I'm traveling, that tends to be high anxiety. I'm not a guy who's great on planes. I don't do too much traveling on planes. So, you know, I tend to have a little more anxiety in those cases. So I'll take some Relax Mag. I'll take things that will help just as far as anxiety to help, you know, help me keep me calm. But Relax Mag is magnesium glycinate, and it's non-drowsy, by the way. So you can take it during the day, and or you can take it at night to help you sleep as well. So check that out. Other supplements are Sleep Helper and Melatonin. You could also take a look at PEA Ultra, Daily DHA, Phosphatidylserine at bedtime to provide essential fats required for brain repair activity and circadian rhythm functionality. You can also take a look at the omega-3s, DHA, and EPA to help to support the drainage of your lymphatic system to help to drain the waste out of your brain, basically, okay? So good supplements. Make sure you check them out, again, at myvitaminresource.com. If you want to take a look at wellness resources supplements, those are the ones that I use for those purposes. All right, so anyway, good information on this. So again, at the end of the day, try your best to get good sleep every single night. But just know, one night of sleep can affect your life in many different ways. Or one night of lack of sleep, by the way. One night of lack of sleep can affect your brain in many different ways. All right, next. This is from the Journal of American Nutrition Association. This was a study, low-dose CBD as effective as melatonin for improving sleep. Now, CBD, we know that as cannabidiol, okay? And it's extracted from the cannabis sativa plant. And it's typically from the hemp side of that plant, okay? Now, there's been a lot of studies on CBD, CBD oil. A lot of supplement companies now have CBD in their supplement products and that type of thing. And the only thing I would say about that is if you are getting or taking CBD, make sure you are getting it from a high-quality, reputable source, because obviously there are a lot of low-quality stuff out there. Making sure, obviously, you're talking to your doctor if you are dealing with any kind of issues, or you're on medications and you want to take CBD oils or CBD products or anything like that, whether it's for pain, anti-anxiety, or whatever the case you're taking it from. So just make sure you know, do your due diligence and check that out in terms of CBD products and stuff like that. Now, so again, they're studying CBD. CBD is being used, you know, all over the place, right? Now, you have what's called an endocannabinoid system. This is a system that you're born with. It's a biological system, and it's a lipid-based retrograde neurotransmitter system in your body, and it basically interacts with all the different types of systems in your body. Now, you have two basic receptors in this system. You have the CB1 and the CB2. The CB1 affects your brain, okay, it's the neurotransmitter in your brain, and the CB2 typically acts with the rest of your body and or your immune system, okay? So when you're taking in CBD, the endocannabinoid system actually has neurotransmitters for this, and it can help deal with all different types of things, whether it's pain, whether it's anxiety, help sleep, all different types of things. Again, there's a lot of studies that are being performed regarding the CBD and its effects on the human body. But also, CBD can also act as an antioxidant in your body, and it's being studied as an antioxidant as well. So again, CBD, lots of information, lots of studies being done on this in the last few years. Now, we're going to talk about this study specifically regarding CBD and how it affected sleep. So to test the effect of CBD on sleep, the researchers randomly assigned 1,793 adults experiencing symptoms of sleep disturbance to receive a 4-week supply of one of 6 capsule products. Each capsule either contained 15 milligrams of CBD or 5 milligrams of melatonin alone or in combination with minor cannabinoids. Okay. Then they did a lot of different types of they assessed them through a lot of different types of surveys and tests and that type of thing. And they did this roughly through about 4 weeks. And this is what they found. This is the results of the study, basically. A total of 56 to 75% of participants across all formulations experienced a clinically important improvement to their sleep quality, according to the study. So 56 to 75% experienced improvement in their sleep quality. Again, this is from CBD and or melatonin and or a combination of these types of things. So this is what they found. And this is their one of their assessments and their what they say here is our findings suggest that chronic use of low CBD is safe and could improve sleep quality, though these effects do not exceed that of 5 milligram melatonin. Okay. Another thing they say, specifically, some scientists cite CBD's ability to lower anxiety and stress, ease pain, and potentially treat involuntary muscle twitching, among others, as reasons it also assists with sleep. So they're saying here that one of the big reasons why it does assist with sleep is, again, is because it helps with anxiety. It helps with muscle twitching. It helps with pain, right? People with anxiety or pain and those types of things may not be getting good sleep, obviously, because they're dealing with these types of issues, right? If you're stressed, it's much harder to sleep because you got a lot of anxiety, a lot of stress, obviously. So the CBD helped them with these types of things. Therefore, it helped them with getting better sleep. Now, again, you know, this is just preliminary studies on this, okay? There's other studies as well. There was other recent studies that have indeed shown that CBD alone and CBD with melatonin improves sleep quality among insomnia patients. Matter of fact, there was a 2018 study of Colorado medical cannabis patients looking at cannabis and cannabinoids as a whole, reported that 84% of patients found it very or extremely helpful in promoting sleep. So at the end of the day, they're saying that CBD seems to work in helping promote sleep, and it's very high percentages on this. Again, something to take a look at, something you can use in your toolbox. Obviously, you got to be smart about this, making sure you're getting your CBD, again, from reputable places. But this is something that you can add. They do say that there was very low to little side effects. I know I've never used CBD personally. I know one of the side effects to a lot of melatonin, if you use too much of it, when you get up the next morning, you can be groggy. So that's just something to take a look at. But CBD, good information on this. I'm sure there's going to be way more studies coming out on this. They're doing a lot more studies on this. But this is something you guys can take a look at if you are having issues sleeping and, you know, just for overall anxiety and pain and so on and so forth. So take a look at CBD. All right, next. From the Wellness Company, Nightly Rest, Daily Defense, How Sleep Supports Your Immune System. Again, I've talked about it a lot as far as making sure that you're getting enough rest because it really affects how well your immune system performs, especially if you're dealing with any kind of stuff that's going around, whether it's COVID, whether it's a flu, whether it's a cold or whatever it is. You got to get that sleep. Let's talk about it. Did you know that sleeping less than 7 hours per night makes you nearly 3 times more likely to be infected by a common cold than people who sleep 8 or more hours? Did you know that women who sleep less than 5 hours per night are almost 70% more likely to get pneumonia than people who sleep 8 hours per night? Just some facts for you, okay? So let's talk about this. Deep, restful sleep is essential for the release of what's called cytokines, okay? Molecules which regulate your immune system and fight off infections. Conversely, poor sleep quality, whatever the cause of that sleep quality, can reduce cytokine production and leave you more susceptible to illness. In a classic study, researchers deprived a group of healthy people to 4 hours of sleep for a single night, and found a whopping 70% reduction in natural killer cells, a type of immune cell responsible for preventing the spread of tumors and a diverse range of other pathogens. Okay, so now we're not only looking at, right, before we looked at one night of sleep depriving you of your brain not being able to drain the waste properly. Okay, so that's cognitive decline, right? Now we're looking at natural killer cells in your immune system. So now they're saying that it actually found that a 70% reduction in natural killer cell production. 70%. That is huge. That's a lot. That's not a small percentage. 70% of reduction. So think about it, just one night. And this is people who slept 4 hours. Okay. So this is something to think about. So now this is also affecting your immune system. Now, sleep deprivation linked to systematic inflammation. There was a study conducted on medical residents, and these are folks that normally don't get sleep, right, for long periods of time when they're doing their residency. You doctors can attest to that. They found that those who worked extended shifts and had disrupted sleep and increased levels of inflammatory markers compared to those who had adequate sleep. So again, high inflammatory markers in those who don't sleep and or had extended shifts, especially those night shifts, versus people who had adequate shifts. Inflammatory markers go way up. Okay. So all that to say this, let's talk about a few general tips as far as helping you get sleep. And we'll talk about what they say in this article. Aim for obviously eight to 9 hours of sleep each night. How much you need depends on the various factors, right? Your age, your activity level, your genetics, but at least 7 hours per night seems to be associated with less than 7 hours of night seems to be associated with negative health outcomes. Now, I did a show a while back on what was the optimal sleep, and pretty much they said 7 hours seems to be the optimal sleep for the most part. Again, everybody's different, but on average, when they did the studies, 7 hours seems to be the optimal. Okay. Maintain consistent sleep schedule. This entrains the nervous system to orchestrate sleep-related hormone release more effectively. This is a big one. Trying to go to sleep at the same hours every single night. That is really, really important. Even on the weekends, by the way. If you can go to bed, and I know it's hard for a lot of people because people are partying on the weekends, right? But if you can go to bed close to the same hours at night and get up at the same hours during the morning, during the weekends that you're doing during the day, or let's say you work during the week, I know it's very, very difficult, but it helps with rhythms. Again, we talked about how your body releases hormones during as far as rhythm goes, right? Whether it's at night or in the morning, okay? Well, circadian rhythms and sleep rhythms are very, very important. So how you establish those rhythms is going to be in direct correlation to how well your body releases all these hormones throughout the day and at night, okay? So that's why rhythm is important. Going to sleep different at the same time is extremely important. Maximize light exposure first thing in the morning as much as possible during the day. Early light exposure sets a countdown for the release of a hormone called melatonin at night, which is required to initiate sleep, right? So again, you have to remember that there's also body temperature issues here, right? Your core body temperature, right? So as you're getting ready to go to sleep, let's say around 10:30, your body temperature is kind of goes up, right? This helps to coordinate not only the release of melatonin, but also darkness helps to coordinate the release of melatonin as well, right? Once you start sleeping, then your core body temperature comes down, okay? But as you go on through the middle of the night, when you start to get into the morning, your core body temperature starts to come back up. This is, again, the cycle. This is what happens, right? And this starts to help your melatonin starts to come down as you start to wake up in the morning, right? As the light hits your eyes, especially as you start to wake up in the morning, this is where your melatonin starts to shut off. And then the clock starts to when this starts to happen again later on the next day. Again, this is all rhythm, okay? Keep the room relatively cool temperature. Your body needs to drop a couple of degrees to help keep you sleep. Again, this is when we talked about the drop in body temperature as you sleep. Now, here's the big one. Avoid screens for at least a half hour before bed. Now, blue light sends signals to your brain that it's still daytime, okay? And this inhibits melatonin release. If you use your phone as an alarm and struggle to stay off social media when it's at alarm's length, here's a life hack. Buy an old school alarm clock and keep your phone out of the bedroom entirely. This is what I do. I do not charge my phone in my bedroom. I charge it in the living room. I have an old school alarm clock, and I know it's the old man thing. Maybe I know young kids nowadays use their phones as an alarm clock. They use their phones for everything. But I have an old school alarm clock, and this is what I use to get up in the morning. This is what I use if I want to look at the time to see what time it is when I get up in the morning. But that's what I use. I do not use my phone. Number one, I don't want those, you know, rays coming to hit my head when I'm sleeping. And, you know, I would rather look at an alarm clock. Just that simple. Okay. But this is a great hack to use if you want to go to sleep and, you know, or help with sleep in general. And of course, the big one, steer clear of caffeine intake. Try to get your, you know, if you get caffeine in the morning, fine, to help you wake you up. But try not to take any more caffeine after 2 p.m., okay? Because caffeine stays in your system. It has shown that caffeine can actually stay in your system between 6 to 8 hours, okay? So I would say 2 p.m., that's your cutoff point as far as caffeine goes. Because once you start to get, you know, once you start to get 3 or 4 o'clock and you're still having caffeine at that time, this can impair your sleep cycle, obviously, and keep you up. So it's very, very important. Do whatever you can to limit your caffeine around that time. Okay. So just some tips as far as getting to sleep. Again, you can use magnesium. Magnesium is great for helping you sleep. There are many times I'll take a scoop. They have magnesium powders. They have magnesium powders are very good as well. You can put them in your whatever drink you like and just drink them up. I would take it a half hour to an hour before you go to bed to help you start to relax you. Magnesium is very, very good and very, very relaxing. It helps you go to the bathroom, by the way, as a side effect. So very good for going to sleep. Obviously, melatonin. Obviously, you can also use tea, like, you know, chamomile tea can help, that type of thing. Valerian root is another one. Again, just make sure when you are taking these things, don't overdo it, because then that can leave you drowsy in the morning. Okay. Just some sleep. Now, again, one of the things I've been asked many times is, how do I stay asleep? A lot of people wake up in the middle of the night, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Okay. Just a couple of tips that I found, because, you know, there are times that I've dealt with this as well. One of the things to stay asleep, let's say you find yourself waking up, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning on a regular basis, right? One big tip is, if you get up, do not, if you have a phone and or alarm clock, do not look at the time, right? It may sound foolish. This is one of my rules. I don't look at the time. I can tell that it's in the middle of the night because, you know, it's in the morning. You see the light coming through the window, right? But if it's still nighttime, you can tell it's light, nighttime. Do not look at the alarm clock. Why? Because as soon as you look at that alarm clock, you're going to start to do the mental math. And you're going to start to say, well, okay, so it's 4 o'clock in the morning. I wake up at 6. So that gives me 2 hours. So I have to find a way to get 2 hours of sleep. But what if I don't? What if I only get an hour? What if I get a half hour? What if I go to sleep at 4:30? And this starts, and you start thinking. The worst thing to do is to start thinking when you're trying to go to sleep. So do not look at the alarm clock when you wake up in the middle of the night. It's a big key here, okay? Another thing, try not to get out of bed. Stay in bed if at all possible, okay? Why? Because once you get out of bed, there is a shift, okay? There's a shift in your body. There's a shift in your heart rate. Your heart rate has to start to rev up, right? Because now your body has to pump blood to the muscles, right, to get you to move. Now, obviously, if you have to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, you got to do what you got to do, okay, obviously. But if you don't get out of bed. Stay in bed. Stay there and just lay there if at all possible, okay? Another thing that I do, if this happens to me in the middle of the night, I'll just close my eyes and I'll start to just count my breath. Think about it as a meditation. You can actually use meditation to help you fall asleep. Those of you who meditate regularly and fall asleep, you can attest to this, right? Use meditation. Just close your eyes and just start counting your breaths. Just start breathing normally and just do whatever you can to count your breaths. Do a little bit of deep breathing. Because remember, part of the issue is especially when you're in the middle of the night and you're up, right? Your heart rate will start to increase a little bit because now it's anticipating you actually getting out of bed. You don't want your heart rate to increase. You want to stay, you know, to stay in a very steady pace. So the way to do that is to just breathe and try to breathe as much as you can very calmly, stay calm, and see if you can just try to meditate your way back into sleep. That's what I call it, okay? count your breath, or just maybe do some deep breathing to get your heart rate steady. This is very, very important if you can. Now, it may take a while. Some people may, you know, I know a lot of people get restless when they can't fall back asleep. I get that part. But you're trying to do whatever you can to get yourself back to sleep, even if for another 2 hours, because that's two extra hours you have that can help maybe, you know, help you. Now, I know 2 hours may not seem a lot, but it can be to some people. So do whatever you can to try to stay in bed, if at all possible. But again, things like magnesium, things like melatonin, those types of things sometimes can actually help you sleep through the night. So if you can, you don't want to depend on them, but if you have to use them, use them. They're pretty safe, and people are always magnesium deficient anyway. Now, a tip for kids, especially young kids, okay? I would not suggest giving melatonin to kids. Not that it's going to harm them in any way, but kids have an abundance of melatonin that is produced when they're young, right? Your melatonin production is highest when you're a kid. It starts to go down when you get older, okay? This is why many older adults have problems falling asleep, because their melatonin production goes down, okay? So just a little tip as far as that goes, but anything you can do to fall asleep or stay asleep, very, very important. So at the end of the day, what did we learn, okay? Number one, one night of sleep deprivation can affect you, and it can affect your brain. Your trash is unable to clean out even after one night of sleep deprivation. So try to sleep as much as possible. Number two, your sleep affects your immune system, okay? Cytokine production, natural killer cell production, right? 70% of natural killer cell production goes down after one night of sleep deprivation, okay? So it affects your immune system. Okay, number three, there are nutrients that we can use to help with sleep production and or just getting your sleep and to help you stay asleep. Melatonin, magnesium, all these types of things. Check out Wellness Resources products. And CBD now is being studied for good sleep production. So check out CBD and you can add that good CBD product to your toolbox. Okay, just some tips and tools that you guys can use for sleep production. So just check it out. Again, sleep is very, very important, because you don't want to fall asleep at the wheel and end up in an accident, right? Because we all know how much of a pain that can be, especially when you're dealing with it. And just as an aside, truck got fixed. It was significant damage, but it got fixed. They did a great job. You can look at it now and you would never know it was in an accident. And luckily for insurance and getting all that type of stuff done, right? But just a lesson learned as far as, especially those of you who have those shift hours that you sleep way at night. So, all right, guys, hope you got a lot out of this. Hope you guys make sure you take care of yourselves. Make sure you take care of each other. Thank you so much for joining me this week. I'll see you next week. And as always, control your health. Have a great day.